newly married couples do not expect to lose a spouse early in a marriage. Well, tonight, we're talking about premature widows, the grief, the healing, and life after the early death of a spouse. My guests are Connie Gilmore, founder of Premature Widow, Dr. Frederica Brooks Davis, clinical psychologist and executive director of the Reed Temple Restoration Center Incorporated, and Karen Gray Houston, a former widow who has recently remarried. If you have a comment, if you have a question, an experience, or you're struggling with grief and life after the early passing of a spouse, please give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Harold, glad to be with you. Long time no see.
Absolutely, Karen. You sound happy, and I'm so glad to hear your voice, too. I want to start with you. Again, you know, congratulations on your recent marriage to Bob. But your
it took a long time, Harold.
Yeah.
My husband, Chris Houston, died 11 years ago.
I remember Chris. I remember.
Yeah.
He was 42.
Great guy, handsome black man, you know. In the media, I met him on a news story. I met him at Quantico on a rape court-martial story years and years ago, and he was a wonderful person. We clicked right away. We had a wonderful romance. I looked up one day, and I said, you know, I think he lives with me.
Yeah.
It was just, everything was awesome. He was my soulmate. And then, you know, 18 years into our relationship, all of a sudden, he got pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And he was a very athletic person. He ran marathons. We played tennis. And he was training me to run a marathon. And all of a sudden, after he had just finished the New York Marathon, he couldn't run a mile.
Yeah.
And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, we did all those tests, and all of a sudden it was, I can't sugarcoat it. He's going to die in 3 to 6 months.
I remember Chris very, very well. He was a great guy, always very, very kind to me. For after you lost him, what was the most difficult thing for you? Because you said it took a long time for you to get to a point where you could, you know, love again. What was the most difficult thing?
Oh, my gosh. I lost the person who really loved me. I loved him back. He was my other half. He was very supportive. I can't tell you the one thing that was the most difficult thing, but I'm going to just say to people who are widows, this is a long path. It's a journey. There's a reason they call it grief. It's a thing that happens to you, and you're going to be sad for a long time, and you just have to carve out your own path. I'm not going to be the expert telling people what they ought to do. I'm going to let Dr. Frederica Brooks Davis tell the people what they should do, because she's a psychologist. I will tell you that I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a psychologist. I had a therapist. I went to my doctor because, and a cameraman at Channel 5 will tell you, I was crying in the live trucks and the crew cars.
Yeah.
You know, I went back to work shortly after he died because I used up all my family leave, leave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
it sounds like a really steep emotional mountain to climb. And as I said, you know, even after all of these years, you sound like the same, you know, Karen Gray Houston that I knew back in the 80s. And I'm so glad that you've moved through the, you know, the healing process. And to your point about talking to, you know, Dr. Brooks Davis, you know, this is, you know, not just a professional issue for you. It's personal because you lost your husband after 2 years and 10 months of marriage. You were still newlyweds.
That's correct. Actually, we were still newlyweds when he received his diagnosis, my husband Teddy. So he was diagnosed 3 months after we were married.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, I came home and found Teddy unconscious, and he actually was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So from 3 months of being married until his transition in July of 2014, that time was spent caring for him and things of that nature.
For you, not only as a clinician, but also as someone who had a very personal experience with this, I would imagine this didn't make the loss of your husband any easier.
No. It didn't, because first I was a woman and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to that, it helped in terms of I knew some of the strategies, but it was also, quite frankly, one of those in your face. You have walked with people on this journey and you have talked to them about doing this. Now let's see if you can put into action what you've suggested to other people.
Were you able to do that?
I was. I really was, in terms of I also went to see for therapy. I went to see a psychologist to talk about that transition. I relied on my faith and things of that nature and processed what that was about. I was angry, all of that. And in my work, we integrate spirituality with psychology. So again, the angry with God, what's this about, God? What is all of this about? So definitely I was able to incorporate both.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about premature widows, the grief, the healing, and life after the early death of a spouse. How do you move through that process? How do you address the full-throated grief that you feel when you lose a spouse at a very, very early part in the marriage? Now, Connie, you got married at 40. You were married for 14 years, and your spouse was 38 when he passed. You created this organization, Premature Widows. Talk to me about that journey to the organization.
Okay. Let's see. Well, actually, I became a widow at 40.
Okay.
We were married for 14 years. And so I met my husband when I was 11 years old. So we grew up together as children. We went to the prom together. So he's been in my life over 30 years. And so this transition was one that literally took the breath out of me. Mm. And when I looked around, widows just didn't look like me. You know, I'd seen my mom go through widowhood, my mother-in-law, my grandmother. But in my age bracket, there was no one that I could relate to, that I could talk to. And that is what actually prompted the birth of Premature Widow. I needed something. I said there has to be something. I researched. There were other organizations, but they did not gear to the younger wife, the wife that didn't have the opportunity to live 20, 30, 40 years with their spouse, you know, grandchildren, build their lives together. It wasn't anything that was directly specific for that widow that was still early into their marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that is what prompted me to found Premature Widow. It's an organization of young widows. And we have built a sisterhood. We do events. It's a place for fellowship. It's a place for sisterhood, for resources. We pray together. We support one another in our endeavors, and we help each other out. And it has grown. I have premature widows that are in other states that have connected to me through social media or referrals. I actually met Dr. Frederica Brooks Davis through a referral, mm-hmm. Of a mutual friend who knew that she was a widow. And so, that's what Premature Widow was birthed from. And that's how we're growing at this point.
I want to also talk, you talked about having events, and I want to talk about something else that also is happening at Reed Temple. But for people who are interested in finding out more information about Premature Widow, is there a website, or where can they find you online?
Prematurewidow.com is our website. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as Premature Widow. And we have a Premature Widow retreat that's actually coming up this weekend, starting on Saturday. It's at the Westfields Marriott in Chantilly, Virginia. It's a 2-day event. There's also an option for a 1-day. Ms. Karen Gray Houston will be our keynote luncheon speaker.
Oh, there you go.
Frederica Brooks Davis is a facilitator. It's going to be a wonderful event. I encourage any of the young widows in the community to come out and join us.
And before I've got to go to the phones also, and I may not do it before the break, but I want to let you know, 202 30 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to go to the phones in just a bit. But I also want to talk about Life, Love, and Remembrance, the event coming up next month. Dr. Brooks Davis, briefly tell me about that as well.
Sure. So this event is for any individual who has lost a loved one. You will be able to attend the event on December 9th. More information can be found in registration at readrestoration.com. So that's any loss that you have experienced. And we will give people tips on how do you overcome grief and loss, create new traditions, particularly around the holidays.
And that, you know, that's doubly important, not just, you know, because you perhaps may have lost a spouse at any point during the course of a marriage, but, you know, particularly if you're a premature widow and now you've got the holidays coming up and no one wants to spend that time alone. Karen, are you still going to be with us after 7:30 or are we going to lose you?
I will stay with you. I think this is a great thing that you're doing.
Well, wonderful.
There was nothing like this when I was a widow. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, I had one other friend.
Well, Karen, hold on because I will get back to you. I've got to take a break. I'm going to come back and I'm also going to go to the phone lines as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. And of course, don't forget the information that we've shared already will be posted on WHUR.com after the program. So you definitely want to go online to get more information about the events. We're going to go to the phone lines after the break. So stay with us. Again, Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We're talking about premature widows, life after losing a spouse early in a marriage. We'll be back in a moment. I'm back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about premature widows, the grief, the healing, and life after the early death of a spouse. My guests are Connie Gilmore, founder of Premature Widow, an organization that helps support young widows. Also, Dr. Frederica Brooks Davis, clinical psychologist and executive director of the Reed Temple Restoration Center, Incorporated, and Karen Gray Houston, former widow, who is recently remarried. And again, we certainly say congratulations. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Maria, thanks for hanging on, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Maria, and I lost my husband in 2011, and I was 52 years old. And I'm glad the ladies have these resources out, because in 2011, there was not much available.
How did your husband die?
He had a heart attack. Actually, my dad died on a Monday, and my husband died the next Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had two funerals, one Friday and one the following Friday.
How are you doing now, Maria?
You know what? I actually told my children that I am well and I feel healthy. You know, I sought out a group called Soaring Spirits International, which is online, and they have resources where you can check.
Whoops. Did we lose her?
Oh, hello?
I think, Maria, we did lose her. If you're listening, if you can hear us, please call you back because we do want to hear a little bit more from you. I want to go to the next phone call, though. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Temple Hills. Tanya, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Are you all doing?
Fine, thank you.
My name is Tanya Swyman. Friend of actually sister of Connie Gilmore, and I'm so proud of her organization. As we connected, I lost my husband after 3 years of marriage. He was tragically murdered in a random gunfire. He was away on a business trip in 2003 on Mother's Day weekend. We had just had a 1.5-year-old son, and we had just bought a house, and we met in church, and I just knew this was my Boaz, my forever partner. And the police showed up at my door and told me that my husband had been a victim of a homicide. That was in 2003. I grieved for 3 years, going to church, carrying my son, being surrounded, trusting God. Yes, I was mad. I asked questions. I didn't understand. And like Connie said, there wasn't anybody that looked like me, and I felt very lonely. I was 36 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've now since remarried. Mm-hmm. I married a pastor, Bishop Lanier Twyman, who we married when my son was 5, I believe, and he's embraced my son, you know, as his own, like, as my son never knew his, didn't really know his father, mm-hmm. As such, and could not remember. But we have, after I healed and grew, my husband again embraced, you know, my son, and even my late husband's family, we have since basically incorporated like one big family. So yeah. my mother-in-law and everyone gets together, and it's been part of the healing process for everybody.
Well, Tanya, it sounds, you know, particularly under the really difficult circumstances of the loss of your husband, because that was sudden, it was completely unexpected, and for you to have this full-bodied support from new family, already established family, your deceased husband's family, I don't think that people can ask for much more than that. And so thank you. I appreciate you sharing with us, you know, your journey, and I'm glad that, you know, you have moved through that healing process as well,
yeah,
and found love again.
And I did seek therapy. I did go to therapy. I didn't want to emphasize that, but I sought Christian counseling to mm-hmm. get through the process, that I thought that was very important.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Let me go to Maria. Maria's back. And Maria, thank you for calling back. I wanted you to really briefly finish with us about, you know, how you're doing now and where your head and your heart are now.
I am doing well now.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a journey and an experience. I never use the word hard, because if I say it's hard, it will be hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I've grown a lot. And as I was saying, I go to something called Camp Widow every year. Soaring Spirits Online, where you can actually meet other people who are in the same boat.
Okay.
Because it's really hard for people, although I'm a little bit older than the caller, still at 52,
mm-hmm.
I really felt alone. There was no one else who got it.
Okay.
And when you see other people who are widows, mm-hmm. you're in your tribe with people who understand, who are part of your family.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And again, you know, we certainly, you know, salute you and your healing process as well. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to ask, you know, both of you, Dr. Brooks Davis and, you know, also, you know, Connie, when you are dealing with young widows or even widowers, mm-hmm. because this doesn't just happen to women.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that is a constant? Is there something that you see in each and every one of them after the loss of a spouse early in a marriage that people who haven't gone through that don't understand?
That's a great question. I would say what I have seen, I mean, with myself and the first time I connected with Connie and some of the other sisters in the group, was this idea as a young widow, because it happened so early in the marriage, if I desire to remarry, will I have this happen again?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I said to them is, because this was in 2011, I didn't know Connie then. There was isolation. Other people had been married for longer periods of time, had children. And so in my case, my husband and I, we didn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as a young widow, you know what it's like early in your life. I became a widow at 39. So now, as I'm thinking about my future, and I know the hurt of being a widow, making sure, how do I make sure that I don't allow fear to set in, that if I should marry again, that the same thing won't happen?
Connie?
I can definitely echo that. I've heard that a lot. That's a huge concern from a lot of the widowers as well. It's just one of those experiences that you hope and pray you never have to go through. And then now that we've gone through it,
right.
You know, you really don't want to go through it again. I have met, you know, some widows that have actually experienced it again, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, the husband passed, they found someone that they were dating, fell in love with, and then he suddenly passes. Mm-hmm. And so that's a large fear. And it a lot of times prevents us from wanting to move forward and move on, because that thought is in the back of your mind. What can you do differently? There's really nothing you can do differently. We have people like Dr. Brooks Davis, whose husband died of cancer. I have other young ladies in the group that just suddenly heart attack, mm-hmm. vacations, home in the bed, you know, different scenarios. So there's no rhyme or reason to why this happens, how it happens, when it'll happen. And it's just one of those things where we just have to try to figure out a way to facilitate something amongst us where we can get beyond that fear, get mm-hmm. beyond, so that we can, you know, move forward and love again if that presents itself, and remarry if that also presents itself. And I think that Karen can probably speak to that as well.
I was about to say
it can happen,
because Karen, Karen, if you can allow me, I wanted to ask you this.
Yes.
First of all, when did you get married just now? When
I got married in July.
Okay, congratulations.
Congratulations.
I am really a newlywed.
Right, exactly. Oh, well, then we're going to only keep you for 5 more minutes.
at any rate,
Harold. But, you know, what kind of conversation did you, when you were dating your husband, did you have to have, if any at all, about, you know, the loss of your previous husband?
Well, let me just say this. Chris, my first husband, was only 42 years old mm-hmm. when he died. And so I just was not ready. He was taken too, snatched away mm-hmm. too young. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, they give this magic year of when are you supposed to start dating again? Mm-hmm. 2 mm-hmm. years later, I mean, I think I waited till after that, because I had a couple of girlfriends who set me up on a date, because I think they felt like I had been waiting too long mm-hmm. and it was time to get back in the game. And so I dated a guy, that guy they set me up with for a minute. He was not my person, but he was a really nice guy. And then I was in therapy talking to a psychologist, because, you know, things were kind of crazy. I mean, I was going to work on television, trying to put a smile on every day and doing the news. And so what was I supposed to do? Well, my therapist said I should go on eHarmony and see if I can find somebody online. So I tried eHarmony and Match.com. I didn't even date the people. I met 2 people online, you know, met them at a public place and went, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at some point, some people, guys I knew, had known, were friends, popped up, and we went out. And I, you know, started getting back into the game. You know, you go to the movies, you go out to dinner. And I hadn't met anyone until right before it was 6 months before I retired from Fox 5. And I got a voicemail message from a guy who I had dated, I want to say 38 years previously when I lived in New York.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, what do I do with this? And I, you know, was busy trying to get out of Channel 5.
And Karen, I would love to hear this. We've got folks
on
the line, and because the important question is, and I think it's really applicable to a lot of women who have lost their husbands and are looking to reconnect. Again, what kind of conversations, if any, did you have with Bob about, you know, being a widow?
Well, he had a relationship with a woman who died.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had that in common.
I see.
And we also had a previous relationship from many years ago in common, and we just reconnected, and it was just, it worked for us. I mean, when we were younger, we didn't become an item. But now, you know, many years later, it just was the right time. And we had this bad experience in common, and we just liked each other. And I don't know that we talked about it a lot. We mm-hmm. just picked up a relationship. You know, we liked to play tennis. We liked to travel. We went on some cruises.
So you were able to connect. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And you just have to do that. I mean, you just have to give yourself permission
because
in the back of your head is always, I've got that tie to this other person who was a soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he doesn't ask for me to forget that person.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that person. And the fact that I created a scholarship fund in the memory of Chris Houston, mm-hmm. and he supports that. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, I just want to say, you know, again, you know, I'm happy for you, but, you know, I'm happy for Bob, too, because, you know, the inside, you know, stuff. Obviously, we're all in the media. I've known you since the 80s, and he got himself a great woman. And
oh,
so,
thank you so much, Harold.
And so I'm not just happy for you, mm-hmm. but I'm also happy mm-hmm. for him.
I'll let him know that you said that.
And tell him you heard it from the horse's mouth.
from the horse's mouth. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate what Connie is doing with this group.
Thank you.
And I support it. And you're brave and courageous to do it. And I thank you. I think it'll help some people.
Thank you. I'm thinking. I hope so, too.
I'm going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mandy. We're going to talk to Denisha. And we're also going to talk to Cynthia. We're talking about premature widows, the grief, the healing, life after the early death of a spouse. So, ladies, please stay with us. We'll talk to you immediately after the break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about premature widows, the grief, the healing, and life after the early death of a spouse. Let me go to the phone line. Cynthia calling from Laurel. Thanks for hanging on, Cynthia. What's on your mind? Cynthia, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. Let me go to Mandy. Mandy calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Mandy. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yeah, so I actually lost my husband less than a year ago, December 12th, 2016, in a very tragic car accident. He was on his way to pick up our 2-year-old son.
How old are you now, and how long were you married before you lost your husband?
So I'm 36. Mm. My husband was 30, and we were married for 2 years.
Mm. Wow. How are you doing? How are you handling this?
You know, I think you get numb. Side note, I lost my brother a month after that, and then my uncle, so it's been a really rough year. Mm-hmm. I can say that my husband is on my mind constantly. So I think that, you know, I have a very high, position. I manage a clinic. And so I just kind of try to get lost in work. And that doesn't work.
No.
And so I've noticed that I was trying to not deal with things. And it's really, really hard, especially when you have a child who's learning to speak and trying to ask about mm-hmm. his father and doesn't really understand the concept of death and why they're not there, you know. So it's been a very several tiers to the difficulty of it, you know, being a mother, having to go back to work and people don't know what to mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. Questioning, just faith and my religion and just everything just is paused and very confusing. And just trying to find your way, I think, through this grieving process is really difficult.
You mentioned something, Mandy, that I think is important. You said people often don't know what to say. And while I would imagine that every person is different, what is it that you do not want to hear from those who are trying to find the right words?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. You know, my mother and I said we should write a book of things not to say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, we didn't know that before we went through that. But I think, you know, I can go down a list of so many things that people, you know, said, you know, well, I've had people say, well, you know, he was young. I mean, you know, people try to act like it's okay that he died, all the way to people saying nothing. And so I've had this spectrum, and when I look at that spectrum, I can say that trying to find the right words to say is they're never going to come out right. Right. The let's go to lunch and sit down and talk. And if it comes up, it comes up. There's nothing
people
anyone
are
can say.
People are clueless.
Yeah, there's nothing they can say.
They don't know what to say, and they say things like, I know how you feel.
I know how you feel.
I know how you feel, or you must feel like this, or, you know, but I can tell you, I had one person walk up to me, give me a hug, and walk away.
Mm. Oh, that's the best.
I mean, of course, he. I work with him, and he's a psychiatrist, so he has some background knowledge in this stuff. But you know, it really said more than words can say. You know, the words are very limiting, and people don't realize that. So sometimes when you try to say something,
Hugs
are important.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Karen, real quick.
I had people who came up to me on the streets when I was reporting the news, and all they did was give me a hug, and that made the difference in the day for me that day.
Well, Mandy, certainly, you know, our condolences for your loss, but also thank you for providing us with some insight, and we certainly hope that your healing process moves in a good direction.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much. Let me go to Denisha. Denisha calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
I would like to speak on just the grieving process and myself not being able to go through that at this point. I'm dealing, my husband recently died in June from a reoccurring brain tumor.
Okay.
We were together for 17 years, but married for only 8, and have 2 beautiful boys. Just this process of grieving and not being able to fully grieve at the burial, and it's been very difficult.
So, Denisha, first I'd like to say, I think on behalf of all of us, certainly we extend our condolences to you and to your children. But I have a question. You talked about not being able to grieve, and I'm just interested in hearing from you when you say that. What does that mean?
Because I am being forced to deal with other issues. My husband, with this tumor, we were in recovery from surgery from 2015 up until he died June of this year. Recovery of with this tumor, we sat in the hospital together, and our children, which we had a life of, we owned a restaurant on U Street, and we were homeschoolers. We had to send our children to live with his parents and myself sitting with my husband at his bedside. The death happened for me. We thought he would make it through. We had prayers daily, and our faith is still strong. But after my husband passed, my in-laws just totally went another direction. They tried to sell our house. They sold our business, and they no longer speak with their grandchildren.
Wow. So in that particular situation, so certainly my husband died of a brain tumor, and so I too walked that journey with him. He had 6 procedures. What I would want to know, and I know we don't have enough time or encourage you to do, are you open to seeking counseling for support, not only with the loss of your husband, but also the loss of family members, your in-laws and persons that were maybe perhaps once there with you? Are you open to receiving those services?
I have received counseling through our new church that we're now parishioners of. We have now totally also switched faith. We were members of the Orthodox faith. Now we're members of Christian Tabernacle. But through counseling with the priest, it's been helpful. But that's the only method of input or kind of grief that I've had.
I would suggest to you, and you know, you can go to whur.com and get our information, but if you look up readrestoration.com, that's R-E-I-D restoration.com, I certainly would want us to be a resource to you, in that you could do family counseling there and address your issues. And we also specialize in spiritual integration for those who want it. You don't have to have that, but if that's something that may be of interest to you. And we also accept most of major insurance plans. So again, I think if you're open to it, you can go to reedrestoration.com. You can call our office at 301-352-0320, extension 614. Ask for me, reference this, and I'll certainly make sure that we get you connected with some support.
And Denisha, I wanted to say before I let you go, as the doctor just said, that information, it'll be on WHUR.com between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, because I know that was a lot that she handed to you. And but, you know, certainly first steps mm-hmm. aren't always immediate mm-hmm. right after the loss of a spouse. Sometimes I would imagine those first steps can come long mm-hmm. after the passing. But, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, pursue the healing when you're ready. And, mm-hmm. and I think that you made some great recommendations, Dr. Brooks Davis. So, you know, Denisha, we certainly, we certainly extend our condolences. Mm-hmm. And hope for the best healing. And as I said, that information, not just for you, but for anyone who needs a resource, will be on our website between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Okay?
So thank you.
Thank you so much. I wanted to say, because I'm really low on time, and I wanted to ask Connie this, as it relates to the people that are in your group, what kind of expectations do they have as they move through the supportive healing process? And is the reality that for some, it may be a perpetual thing, that there may not be light at that end of the tunnel?
Absolutely. I think that the expectation is more or less, it's as simple as having a group of people that understand mm-hmm. what you're experiencing. Being able to be in a room full of people that you can look to your left and or to your right, and they know what they get you. Mm-hmm. Because one of the largest things that, you know, that's the biggest thing that we always say is people just don't get us. They don't understand, you know, and they have the best of intentions. They want to support us. They want to be there. But at the end of the day, it's so much easier to pick up the phone and talk to a widowed sister who understands where I am in my stages of grief. And I think that initially that's exactly what they're looking for. Someone who gets it, a place where you can go, you can be transparent, you can cry, you can laugh, you have that support. You know, we do widows night out once a month. You know, we're having this retreat coming up this weekend. We get together and we do things together. We bring the children in. A lot of times we have the children meet one another, because one of the other things is a lot of the children, you know, their issues are similar to ours in that they feel like, you know, I remember my daughter, she was 6 at the time. She said, the other children, I'm not like the other children anymore. They all have fathers. Mm-hmm. I don't. So it's very important to me as well that the parents and the children come into the fold and that we're able to, you know, connect them as well so that they can have a relationship as well. So I think that, you know, the support overall is, you know, that we do things together. We support one another. I'd get calls 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, tears, you know, whatever the triggers are, someone to talk to that understands. You know, we have siblings, we have friends, but if they've never experienced it, it's very difficult to be able to understand where we are in certain places of this journey.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Of course, the information will be posted online, but we of course do have prematurewidows.com. Also, Dr. Brooks Davis, the website?
ReedRestoration.com.
And again, it'll be on our website. Connie Gilmore, thank you so much, Dr. Frederica Brooks Davis. And Karen Gray Houston. Karen, it is so good to hear your voice.
My pleasure to be on the show. My props to Connie and the doctor. Mm-hmm. You guys have great advice. I wish, Connie, something like this had been around when my husband hit.
Thank you.
And don't forget, tell Bob he's got a winner. I said so. Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. Lorna Newton is next with The Connection. Good night. The Howard